If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. You know, faith is an amazing gift from the Lord. Just like the song Cal just sung, can you imagine what it would be like to go and offer your child as a sacrifice on an altar? But yet if God said do it, that's exactly what we would need to do by faith. Faith is an amazing gift that God gives to us. Faith allows us to see things we've never seen, allows us to hear things we've never heard, and allows us to touch things that we've never felt. And so again, if we take a moment, I want to examine this first verse in verse number 11 of chapter 1, and then we'll read our text. But he said, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we take a moment to examine this verse, it'll give us some valuable insight to the biblical nature of faith. Everything that we do as a child of God is by faith, and faith in the Lord, a Lord that we've never seen physically, but yet one that we've seen spiritually through the Word of God and through the preaching of the cross that has been given to us. The Bible said faith in God makes things that we hope for as real as the things that we have around us. Friend, today heaven is just as real. I don't want to get ahead of my message, but I'll tell you tonight, today heaven is just as real today as if we were there. Because faith allows us to know that and to believe that. He said the substance of things hoped for. The word substance there means what stands under everything, what stands under this building, its foundation. And friend, our faith will only be as strong as our foundation. That's why we need to know that we know that we know that we're saved and born again by the Spirit of God. We've not just made a profession, but we've accepted a possession in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has saved us marvelously in our life. Faith in God gives us that solid foundation. Friend, today I don't question God about anything. Now again, there's not times in our life things does not happen that we might say, Lord, I don't understand why and this, that, or the other. And I believe that's okay. But basically, we understand that God is a perfect God. We understand that God is in control of all things. And so as a result of that, we have faith enough to believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think if we put our trust in Him. When our faith is clear on the Word of God, you should never fear God failing you. If you're standing on the promises, don't worry about God failing you because He will never fail you. He's always there with you. And then there's the faith that is unshakable. It speaks the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Now, if somebody commits a crime, the way they convict them is to find out how much evidence they have. And truly today, the way that we base our faith is by the whole host of evidence that we have. Friend, not only do I have the Bible, the Word of God, which is inspired by God, but I have the fact that I have lived for Him all these years, and I've seen His hand upon me. He's guided me, He's directed me, and He's met every need that I've had along the way. And so we need an unshakable faith, an evidence that we know that God exists and is able to do what He can do in our life, what He will do in our life if we trust Him. But look, if you would, down at verse number 6. He said, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Friend, I want you to know today, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Can I tell you something else? Without faith, it's impossible to be born again by the Spirit of God. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm telling you today, we're living in some terrible and tragic and trying times in this world. And we read the news or see the news, and we know what's going on around the world. People today that are suffering at the hands of a war that is killing babies and women. Not only that, but then we deal with people that are going to their local doctors and hospitals and being told they have cancer or they have something wrong with them that is terminal. And yet, how do we deal with that? How do we get through it? The only way to get through it is just faith in God, knowing that God has a plan and God is able to do what we are not able to do. And we need faith to help us navigate through this world, help us to navigate this path between here and our eternal home in heaven. If we're going to hold fast to Him, we must understand today that He is everything that we need in our life. Now, this chapter has been called the Hall of Faith, and maybe many times when I preached it, I've tried to cover all the different people, but I'm going to zero in today on just one and share with you a few thoughts that I hope will be a blessing to you. In this chapter, it speaks of the faith of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and others is laid out in glorious detail. These were men of faith. Boy, that's a great example for us to see these men of faith and what they do. These men and women are mentioned in this chapter. You know what? They saw what they could not see. They heard what they could not hear. And they held in their hands what they could not touch. That's what faith will do for you if you have a strong faith in the Lord. Through faith in God, they obtained His promises, even though they never saw the promises or the ultimate fulfillment of it. They believed in it. They looked for it. And they were excited about it. The great hero of the faith today I want to talk about is Abraham. My introduction is a little bit lengthy, but I'll work through my points when we get there. But I want you to see in verse 8, the Bible said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, and not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Father, Lord, I ask for your help this morning. I pray that you would help our faith to be increased. Lord, I thank you for the salvation faith that we had in you. And Lord, I thank you for the faith that we have daily to know that you'll supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. And I pray now that you'd speak to hearts, have your will and way. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Let me just give you quickly three thoughts before I get to my main thoughts. In verse number 8, we find here that the Bible said he went out. He went out. Now, when God called Abraham to leave his home, you got to understand something. Abraham was a lost man. He was not saved. He was a sinner just like you and I were. We know, thank the Lord, that he believed God. And by the way, that's, of course, the way we do. And we know in Genesis where it tells us that he believed in God and God counted unto him for righteousness. But here's a man lost. He's a pagan. And God tells him to pull up and to leave. Abraham, obviously, even as a lost man, had enough faith to believe that this was the God that was speaking to him, or was God that was speaking to him and telling him what to do. And yet here a lost sinner believed God. He left everything he had, and he went to a place that he didn't even know where he was going. And I tell you today, I would have to say, if we were voting for the faith of the year, Abraham would probably get that, because obviously he was not in the position that we are in today to have and hold the Word of God. Not only did he went out, but the Bible said in verse 9, he camped out. Now, a lot of you, I know, like to camp and go different places and do certain things. But the Bible said in verse 9, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, he went out, not knowing whithersoever he went. He dwelled in tabernacles. Now, what that means, dwelled, means to live or to dwell in a place in an established or settled manner. Abraham, like Isaac and Jacob, he had no home in Canaan. He had no home. And when he left his home, he left everything. There was the land that was promised to him, but he had to, by faith, believe that he would get there because literally he could not see it. The only piece of land Abraham owned, according to Genesis 23, was a piece of land. It was a cave that he purchased to bury his wife in. That's all he had. He went out by faith, and by faith Abraham was a pilgrim in the land that God gave him. While he never possessed the land, God had given him a land, and he believed God. Abraham owned the land in his heart. He knew what the Bible said. You know, it's just like heaven. Heaven ought to be real to us today. Because, listen, if you by faith believe God and you know what the Word of God tells us today, it ought to be just as real as if going to the store this afternoon or wherever you might go that it might exist. You know, we're like that in some ways. When God saves us, He calls us. And when God calls us, He calls us to go out. And sometimes He calls us to go to places we don't know where we're going or what we're going to do. And I don't know that any of us have ever gone to the extreme that Abraham did or the way God did with Abraham. But listen, I want you to know, friend, this world is not my home. I'm just simply passing through. I'm on my way to the home that my Lord has prepared for me. I'm looking forward one day to being with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. I'm looking forward today to being reunited with my loved ones as we're there. But I want you to understand, here was a man. He went out. He camped out. And then we see also in the passage of Scripture, he looked out. And this will be the text for today. In verse number 10, the Bible said, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God." That's where I want to focus our attention today. The Bible said Abraham went out. He went out by faith. He had great faith. But he was looking for a city. The word "look" means expecting or waiting for. The Bible said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And if you believe in God, we have to understand that there's a better place of coming, and we're simply sojourners and pilgrims passing through. He looked for this place. The Bible said he looked for a city. He looked eagerly. He looked excited. He looked beyond the walls of those tents. Can you imagine what it would have been sitting in that tent day by day and said, "Man, I'm tired of this. I'm ready to find me a permanent place to settle down." But yet, his faith did not waver, and he continued to look for that city. He looked beyond the borders of the promised land. He looked beyond the confines of time. When Abraham looked for that city, he saw a place that he could settle down forever. He could rest knowing that he was at home with the Lord and that God would give him everything we need. As we travel through this world, we're in a strange place. And I'll be honest, sometimes I feel out of place. When I see all the things going on, I hear and see things when you're out, and I won't go into all the detail, but you know what I'm talking about. Things that obviously we did not have to deal with in the past. And yet we understand that in this world, the Bible said for the child of God, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be problems. There's going to be disappointment along the way. But I tell you, all of us today are looking for that place that God has prepared for us, a place of peace and safety and joy. We see a city where Satan can't enter in. We see a place where our God reigns. We sing that sometime around here. Our God reigns. We see a place that we can be with him forever. He said, "Down here I'll never leave you nor forsake you." But boy, it'll take on a new meaning when we get to heaven, won't it? He'll never leave us. We'll be with him forever. I want to talk to you, and quickly, I'm going to go through this, about the sights Abraham saw as he journeyed. And I ask you the question, do you see what he saw? And I tell you today, if you see what he saw, then you can have the faith that Abraham did to know that God is going to do what he said he would do. Now, the first thing we notice is Abraham saw a residence. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations. We know that every house or every building would have a foundation. The word foundation speaks of permanence. I tell you what, when we get saved, I'm glad that the Bible teaches us that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to allow God to work in through us to show us the things that he'd have us to do. But the foundation we have increases our faith. I know some people today, they get saved. They go to church for a little while. They get out of church. 20, 30 years later, you may be talking to them, and they're all nervous. And they said, "I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going through this, and I'm going through that." And yet, on the other hand, there's somebody that's been a dear saint of God. They've believed God all their life. They've studied the Word of God. They've been faithful to the house of God. They've prayed to God. I guarantee you their faith is going to be a lot stronger than the person that has neglected God in their life. Friend, we need a firm foundation. We need the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But up until that time, he was a nomad. Now, during that day, a nomad, there was very few nomads that lived as nomads, except maybe the shepherds. But all the people around Abraham had permanent homes. Don't you know, as he traveled, he saw houses. He saw little children out, maybe yards, playing. I know it was a different time and place. But don't you think maybe along the line he said, "Boy, I wish I had me a place where I could settle down and raise a family and just be faithful to God and do what he'd have me to do." But God did not allow that. He says, "You just come on." And Abraham just kept looking. He was looking for that city whose foundation and builder was made by God. You see, can you imagine how hard life must have been? Well, I'm going to tell you something today. You ought to thank God today for whatever you have. And thank God today we have a house to live in. Last Friday night was a different night for us, and it probably was for you too. I have never, a long, long time, heard thunder like I heard Friday night. It started about 11 o'clock, and it rolled on, and I think I did get a little bit of a break. But at one point, I didn't know if I needed to get up and get dressed. I didn't know if there was a tornado coming. I was trying to figure out what happened. But, man, the thunder and all the things that were going on. But, you know, I know that no matter how stern your house may be, it could still be torn apart in a minute. But I felt some security in the place that God's given me to live down here. We have a home, and if home is a gift from God, as he traveled, he passed the home of people in Canaan. I'm sure he would love to settle down. But I imagine as he passed, he cast his eyes into the future. You know, you can't get bogged down with what's around here. That's why the Bible said, love not the world, neither things are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. We've got to cast our eyes ahead because our future rests in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day he's coming again. The word who's builder and maker, the word maker refers to one who creates a construction. He was a builder. God is a builder and a maker. He designed the city. He constructed it according to his plan. He created it for his own glory and for all who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior. Listen to what Jesus said, and I started this while ago. John 14, 1 through 3, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Could I mention to you today, if you're a child of God and have faith, there ought not to be any doubt in your mind that one day when you leave this earth, whether it be by death or whether it be by the coming of the Lord, that you're going to be absent from the body but present with the Lord in eternity forever and ever. Peter tells us the home that we see by faith is perfect. Not only is it perfect, but it's permanent and it's waiting for us at the journey's end. I tell you what, we come to the end of our life. Brother Chan, the other day, was 91. He said, man, I never anticipated the end of my life being where I'm at right now. But I'm going to tell you, we may not understand what the end of this earth life could be, but we know to leave this earth life and enter into the other life is going to be a wonderful time. So do you see, when you're walking through the world, when you're journeying through life, do you see what Abraham saw? Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was a man that believed God to the utmost of importance. He believed in God, and he was looking for what God said, and he never quit looking. He was looking for a residence. Second of all, Abraham saw a redeemer. If you remember, he said, a builder and maker of the heavenly city, said he built it for his glory. Heaven is the place where God resides. A fellow asked a young boy one time, said, can you tell me where God is? And he said, he's everywhere. Friend, I'm glad today that God is everywhere in this world. And yet we find here, Revelation 21:3, listen. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Friend, this tabernacle houses the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of that, boy, it's an awesome thought, and we know we're not unworthy. We're so unworthy. But when we get saved, God moves in, takes up residence in our heart. Abraham was looking for a place to settle down. He was looking for a city built by God. He was looking for a city that was ruled by God. Abraham had his faith in God, a God that he had never seen. He knew he existed because God called him and he'd given him the promises. And he is blessed in countless ways through faith. Abraham knew that he would see his Redeemer face to face. I tell you, I'm looking for that city. But I tell you what, more than looking for that city, I'm looking for the head of that city. I'm looking for my God, the one that sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. I'm looking one day to look upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and praise him for all that he's done for me. Abraham was looking for a city, but he was looking for a redeemer. He was looking for a time when it would come. As we travel here on our way to heaven, we see all kind of things around us, and we wonder sometimes, does God understand? God understands. Can you imagine a land where there's no sin? Heaven is that land. The Bible said in Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh of lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm telling you, there's not going to be any sin in heaven. Brother, we leave here. We're leaving the sin behind, and we're going to a perfect place that God has prepared for us. Imagine a land where all the tears are wiped away. In Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. Now those of us that are on the senior citizen side, boy, we ought to get excited about that no more pain part. I tell you, the older we get, we find that we have all kind of aches and pains. And I talk to people, you know, my age, and I find out it's not just me. But it's okay. I'm grateful that God's blessed me, the point He's blessed me in. I have nothing to complain about. But oh, the joy of being in a place where there won't be any more deaths. I tell you, during 2020, I preached more funerals in 1 year than I've preached in my entire ministry. And I tell you, it was not an easy thing. But I tell you, when I get to heaven, there's not going to be no funeral processions. There's not going to be no hearses. There's not going to be any funeral directors. Well, I hope there's some funeral directors that are there because they're saved, but they won't be doing funerals. I better clarify that. Somebody go tell the local guys that I said they weren't going to be in heaven. But I'm saying that basically, what a day. And then imagine a land where we will be glorified like our Savior. The Bible said we're going to receive a body like unto His. He said in 1 John 3:9, I got a lot of amens on that. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. In Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And then lastly here, imagine a land where we'll see the face of God. I've never seen Him visibly, but I've seen Him on the pages of this book. I've felt Him in my heart as I prayed. The Bible said in Revelation 22:4, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be written in their foreheads. They shall see His face, face to face with Christ my Savior. Oh, what a joy that will be. And the wonderful thought that we think of as we serve Him. We must imagine heaven today because we have no concept of the place other than what the Scripture gives. I think that heaven is described beautifully in the Word of God in Revelation 20 and in John 14 and other places that the Bible speaks of heaven. It's a wonderful thing to help us and to increase our faith. But I believe heaven is going to be many times more than what we ever imagined. I believe it's going to be even more beautiful than we could have ever imagined in our hearts and lives. But how do we do that? By faith. The Bible said, my citizenship is in heaven. When Jesus died for us, He redeemed us from our sin when we accepted Him. We believed the gospel. We were adopted into the family of God. I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing, adoption. When families adopt children into their home, it's a gift of God. It's a blessing of God. But that child, if it's right, that child will be treated just like any other child, just as if they were birthed into the family rather than adopted into the family. And I tell you today, I was birthed into the family by the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross. But the Bible said in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation, the word conversation there means our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word conversation means the place of location in which one has the right to be a citizen. I'm telling you today, I'm proud to be a citizen of the United States of America. I feel so blessed to have been born here. I thank the Lord for people that have defended our country and fought for it to have the freedoms we've enjoyed all our life. But friend, this is just a temporary place that God put me in for a little while. But I'm going to dwell forever with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. I tell you, He was looking for a residence, but He's looking for a redeemer. What would heaven be without God? It wouldn't be heaven. But yet God is going to be there. We're going to look upon His face. I think about the song Roscoe used to sing, look for me at Jesus' feet. And I tell you, we think about people say, boy, I can't wait to get to heaven to see mama. I can't wait to heaven to get to see daddy. I can't wait to get to heaven to see my children. But I tell you what, I can't wait to see them. But most of all, I want to see my Savior, the one that made it all possible through His blood on the cross of Calvary. And then Abraham saw reality. Can you see what he saw? When Cain went into the land of Nod, you know what Cain did? He built a city. And he named it Enoch, according to Genesis 4:17. Cain had his focus on the world. He built a city because he was determined to live, to prosper, and thrive in that world. And that's where a lot of people are today. Our minds and our thoughts are caught up on the world, and we've got to build bigger homes, and we've got to have nicer cars, and we've got to have all these things. And there's nothing wrong with those things, friend. Don't misunderstand me. But friend, God placed us here for a reason and a purpose, and that's to love Him, to worship Him, and to serve Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And if we neglect to do that, then we're looking for a city that's a worldly city. Abraham built no cities. Abraham built no houses. He lived in tents. He moved from place to place. He was a pilgrim in a strange land. But as Abraham traveled, he knew that there was a city that one day he would go to. While Cain was tied to the world, Abraham was tied to heaven. Cain looked here for his wealth and fulfillment. Abraham looked for his wealth in heaven. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, oh, it's nice if God's provided and we're able to have. And by the way, we're a very rich country. And I would assume today that everybody here, when you leave here, everybody can afford to get something to eat. And there's countries where people can't. But I'm going to tell you something. What we need to understand is one day we're going to be in that place for eternity. And we're going to understand the reality. In fact, I can't comprehend eternity. But I just know it's a long, long time. And we'll never return back to where we came from. We will be with Him forever and ever. When Abraham finished his journey, he was 180 years old. I don't think anybody's made that far. We've got some to make it a pretty good bit. Miss Joyce back there, been around a long time. We're grateful for her. But when he went, he longed for that city. When he died, he had waited for years. He was looking for the place of rest. And when Jesus came into the world, when He went to the cross, when He gave His life for mine and for the people, Abraham was one of those people for whom Jesus died. You see, it's interesting. We don't understand that. But I'm going to tell you, the people in the Old Testament were saved just like they are in the New Testament. Now, they didn't know anything about the cross. And they didn't know anything about Jesus. But the Bible said in Genesis, I believe it's, well, I'm not sure. I think it's 3:17 or somewhere in chapter 3. He said, Abraham believed God. God counted unto him for righteousness. You see, we all get to heaven by just believing God. The Old Testament saints look toward the cross. We look back at the cross and see what God has done for us. Abraham was one of those people for whom Jesus died. After Jesus died, He delivered Abraham and the rest of those who were waiting for a Redeemer. And He carried them away into the presence of God. Imagine the procession of Old Testament luminaries as they made their way to heaven. Among those numbers that were brought out was Adam and Eve, Abel and Seth, and Noah and David and Solomon and Isaiah and Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and a whole host of other believers. As they made their way to heaven, I think some of the most exciting times, nothing more exciting than seeing Jesus. But I'll tell you, I can't wait. I think we'll have time to talk to some of the Old Testament, New Testament saints of God and hear the stories right from their mouth. What Abraham and others had, they didn't see it, but they had it by faith. And I tell you today, we may not have it, but we see it with our own eyes. I wish I was a better orator or able to describe it in a better means. But I tell you, every time I preach, I wish I could paint a portrait of what I was trying to say. And I wish this morning I could present a portrait of what heaven is. And I cannot do justice to what heaven is. But one day, we'll be there. We'll see the glories of heaven. We'll see the God of heaven. We'll see the holy angels of heaven. We'll see the wonders all around us. But most of all, people can say it. I believe God spoke to me, and God may have spoke to you. But I've never heard Him speak to me audibly. But that day, I believe I'll hear Him speak to me audibly. What they beheld with their eyes, what they heard with their ears of faith, what they touched with their hands became real, their home. And I tell you today, our hearts are broken when loved ones die. Boy, I got so many. My family, most of my family is in heaven. And I tell you, I miss them. I long to see them. But I tell you today, it wouldn't bring them back to this place for anything in all the world. I'd love to see them, but listen, I would not deprive them of the beauty of heaven and what God has done. Friend, heaven is real. God is real. The Bible is real. And I tell you, the only way, I hear people all the time, they say, well, preacher, you make salvation sound so simple. I don't make it sound simple. Salvation is simple. It just calls for repentance in your heart, asking God to forgive you of your sins and to come in your heart. So you say, preacher, I just don't know if I could live it. You can't, but God can live it through you if you'll put your trust in Him. I'm looking forward to that day. I'll try to paint a little bit of picture. We'll see the gates of pearl. I can't imagine. We'll see the golden street. We'll see the crystal river. We'll see the angels. We'll see the saints of all ages. We'll see our departed loved ones who have died in the faith. We'll see the throne of God. We'll see the God who occupies the throne. We will see the Savior who gave His life for us. We will see so much more that we can't even comprehend it now. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Those matters, right now, they're a little misty. They're a little murky from our view. But one day they'll become clear when we see Jesus and we're in that place that God has prepared for us. Yeah, that's what Abraham saw by faith. He saw. He was looking for a residence. He was looking for a redeemer. He saw a redeemer. And then he saw the reality of heaven. I've had people tell me, and I can't imagine, but some people said, well, I've heard that all my life, and I'm just getting to the point I don't believe it anymore. I said, don't give up now. Friend, it's real. It's real. It's real. And just as soon as you pass from this life to the next, you'll know the reality of it. But today you can know the reality of it now by having faith in the Word of God. I know the path gets tough. I know there are times when faith is stretched in this world. I hear people say all the time, preacher, I've got more on me than I can bear. You do have more on you than you can bear, but you don't have more on you than He can bear if you'll cast all your care upon Him, because He careth for you. I know what the Bible says, and I challenge you to keep walking with your eyes on Jesus, having faith to know that He'll do what He said He would do. Abraham went out. Abraham camped out. But the key to it all, he just kept looking out. Keep your eyes on the world above. Heaven is our hope. Heaven is our home. And one day, heaven, for the child of God, will become a reality. It'll be our home. Friend, this morning, I hope somehow that I've helped you to see what Abraham saw. It ought to excite us and ought to make us thankful for what God's doing and what He's done in our life. By faith, we believe in God. By faith, the Word of God is preached, and we believe and know the reality of what God says. I hope today that you know Jesus. Friend, how sad it would be. It's impossible to have faith if you don't know Jesus. How can you have faith in something you've never trusted in? If you never had faith, I invite you today to come to Him and let Him have His will and way in your life today. Our Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. Lord, I thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, I thank You for the examples.